Our message today is called The Gospel. And I think there's been a lot of stuff on my mind, I guess, in discussions with different people. And it seems to be, it's centering kind of in a way around the gospel. And so maybe this is, I figure this is what God wants us to talk about and be able to be, to have shared with us. So let me just begin with a word of prayer and we'll get right into the word. Father, I thank you for this time where we can share your word. I thank you for the Holy Spirit to be able to work through your word to us and the things that are spoken and shared. We just pray that it's all in accordance with God's will. Teach us, mold us, and bring us to the place that you want us to be. This I pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Yeah, so the gospel, you know, as I'm reading and doing some studying about this, it's just amazing. You know, the different ideas there are about the gospel. And being kind of like a guy, you know, we tend to be narrow-minded and everything's compartmentalized and stuff like that. And so when somebody, you know, throws a wrench into what maybe I thought the gospel was, it just doesn't fit. And it's really hard to be able to readjust my thinking around that. And then I got to thinking, well, maybe there is different senses of what the gospel is all out there, even within the church here. And I think what we need to do is make sure that we define what the gospel is, because if we're running across the wrong gospel, then we really are not right in a way. You know, I mean, I'm not saying we're wrong, we're going to hell, but what I'm saying is it's very important that we understand the basics of what Christianity is all about. So that's what this message is about. So I'm going to give you a couple verses that talk a little bit about the gospel, but not defining it. And then we're going to get to the point of actually defining it. And I'm probably going to ask you guys to do a little defining, not out loud, but I want you to do it privately. And I'm going to give you actually a little bit of time to do that. So here we go. We're going to go to Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. And again, I want you to be thinking about the word gospel and what's being brought out during this time. It says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all of its truth." So we look at this, that gospel, it happens to be right in the kind of in the center of that paragraph. And if you take that gospel, and it says that it's the word of truth. All right, so that's something we got to be cognitive of as we're doing about this. And it says that the faith and love springs from the hope that we have from the truth, from the gospel. So that our faith and love comes from the gospel. Right? And we look at all of this, that there's that our faith in Jesus Christ and all that, and how we share that with others, especially those believers as well. When we talk about the saints, you know, those are just the believers that we have. And sometimes, you know, they're just the believers. And then we look at the last part over here, and over all the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing. It's the gospel that bears fruit. And sometimes we tend to, I think, sometimes as Christians, is we forget that aspect of what the purpose of the gospel is. And one of it is to bear fruit around the world. So, yeah, we think this is a lovely scripture verse about the gospel. And it encourages us and helps us get our priorities right in terms of where we should be, and we can see, you know, the love and the faith that comes from knowing God and His Word and the truth that comes with it, and it's wrapped around the gospel. Well, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, let's look at this. He says, "You know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, and you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you this gospel in spite of strong opposition. Well, now you can see that there seems to be some blockage at times to be able to spread that gospel. And as Paul is talking about this to the Thessalonians, they suffered while they were in Philippi. And the people there rejected the gospel and even was willing to do harm to those that were spreading it. It says, "For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God who tests our hearts." So Paul and his group of individuals that are going around doing the evangelistic ministry, that they have been spoken, moved by God, right? And in essence, anointed by God to share the gospel no matter what the cost. Why? Because that is paramount. That is what needs to be shared. And we saw the reason, you know, the last scripture that we looked at, what's the outflowing of spreading the gospel is that there's faith, there's love, there's great fruit and stuff that comes out of that. And Paul and his troops that are, persevering through that suffering and stuff, they want to spread that gospel. And I wonder sometimes, the struggles that they went through in order to share the gospel are nothing like what we would be doing. And it's like, are we sharing the gospel when we have it easy to do? These guys are willing to do it when there's persecution, when there's obstruction to their pathway. And even you can see what Paul brings in here, we're not trying to trick you, because that's probably what those people that were opposing him was throwing out, certain lies about them and trying to make it out like they're just trying to get money from you guys or get you to follow them versus anybody else. But that's not really what it is. They're men that are approved by God to do what they're supposed to be doing. And we trust that, So let's look at the next scripture that I've got in terms of, the importance of the gospel. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, it says, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel." Wow, so this is Paul really upset, right? "Which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally damned or condemned. As we have already said, so now I say it again," right? He just said this, I'm going to read it again. "If anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned." So is there weight on what the gospel is? Yes. Is it important to get that gospel out? Yes. Are there blessings when it is brought out and accepted? Yes. We're all in agreement with that. Now what I want you to do is, on that half piece of paper that you have, if you've got a pen, I want you to write down what the gospel is. Because if you're wrong, no, seriously, I would like you to write, you're not going to share this with anybody, all right? I'm not going to collect and say, "Oh, look what this person said." I'm not going to do that. We're Christians. It's the basis of who we are. Let's find out if we know what the gospel is, personally. Or if you don't have a pen, then just, you know, in your mind, put it down. That goes along.
The world is saying it's my truth. That's what I'm hearing. Everyone is saying, well, that's my truth. Or, you know, when you disagree with them, or you, well, it's my truth. Mm-hmm. But that's saying there is, that's a false gospel.
Yes.
It's
truth.
It's a gospel.
Yeah, it's very true. Very true. So we need to be, as a church, in unison of what the gospel is in order to be an effective church and a ministry for God. Yeah. And I'm going to give you the definition soon, according to Paul. And then what you'll be able to do is you'll be able to look at your definition, compare it to Paul's, and see how it compares. Yeah. And no, you're not. I know, this is the... So that's the problem with having a teacher as a pastor, too, is because it makes you guys do some work here. Okay, so what I'd like to do is to share with you 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the beginning of that, because that really talks and is the central focus of what the gospel is, the way Paul explains it. So what we're going to do is broke it down in three different slides. I'll look at the first slide. It's the second slide that really comes out in terms of what the gospel is. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 through 11, you're going to find what the gospel is. And this is a good spot. So if you need to write it down on your piece of paper right there, go ahead and write that down. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 11, and see. Or it could be the whole chapter, but basically we're looking at this section here. It says, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you." Right, so this is, again, Paul reiterating what the gospel is. He's already preached it to them, and he's going to preach it again, and he's going to preach it again, and he's going to preach it again, and I could keep on going with the agains and agains and agains, because this is what he preached, right? "Which you received, and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved." So, through the gospel is salvation. Okay? Sometimes we think it's just salvation alone that we need, but it's through the gospel that you are saved. All right? "If you hold firmly to the word I preach to you, otherwise you have believed in vain." So if you don't believe in the gospel that Paul's presenting, then your faith is nothing. You know, the belief that you have is of no value, as like it's another gospel. All right, we're at that point. Are you ready for that? And we're going to see what we've got. "For what I received, I passed on to you as our first importance," right? So this is the first thing that Paul wants to put out there, because it is the foundation of our faith, right? "That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. And then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last He appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born." Did you catch what the gospel is? That Jesus Christ died for our sins, according to Scripture. He was buried. And then he rose again. Arose, you know, from the dead. Right? On the third day. And then he appears to all of us. That is the gospel. Look at what you wrote and compare. You may have had parts of that. Maybe you had something that was even added to it that, you know, that tries to define more of what that section is there. But that's the gospel. This is what Paul preached over and over and over again. It's these words that brought people to Christ. And so, as we look at that, there's a couple things. Well, let me just go on with the rest of the scripture, then I'll come back to that a little bit, what I want to say. And he continues to say, "For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church." Right. So we know that who Paul, before he was Paul, he was Saul, and he was a Pharisee that wanted to do away with what they called the way. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed." So, let me just bring this down over here. The gospel, put into these four basic points. Right? Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. That He appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And after that He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. And so sometimes it's funny. I think about if I just went around on the streets and started talking about the gospel, they just say, "Oh, you're nuts. You know, you're crazy." What is so powerful about that? Because it just seems like, yeah, we know that story. You know, sometimes we put very little emphasis on what Christ did because, well, it's all done, it's over with, you know. Now we need to live our lives. And sometimes the preaching is more about how you're supposed to be as a Christian versus talking about the gospel and understanding the gospel that's there. So when we look at this, you know, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. There's a lot of Old Testament that reference the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One. And what He was to do because of the fall that happened in the Garden of Eden. And that God was going to restore our relationship with Him. And when we talk about, as you know, according to the Scriptures, there's that whole Israelite story that is culminated. That means like it's peaked to, it's the point at the end, is that Christ, through the Israelites, is to die on, or you know, die for our sins. Because no matter how much we tried following the law, no matter how much we think we're good, we are never ever to be able to get around the penalty of sin, which is death. There's only one individual that can do that, and that is Jesus Christ. Because He was sinless, and I can't imagine being on that cross or being on the stake, even mentioned as a tree, at that moment where all of our sin was put upon Christ. Our sin, past, present, and future. And you think of the multitudes of the people that Christ died for us. They laid Him in that tomb. And then 3 days later, He's not dead. But He's been raised, you know, raised from the dead. And He appears to the individuals around Him. And what does He do sometimes when he speaks to them? But He says, "Peace be with you." Right? Why? because now you don't have that burden of death upon you. What you have is life upon you. You see, that's the gospel. And it's those types of words that bring people to their knees. Because when you are in anguish, when you are in pain, where do you go? But you go to Christ. And people who don't know about God, or as Pat was saying, they have their own truths and their own story about who God is, they're lost. And no matter what they try, no matter what avenue they go down, no matter what book they read and what mindset they want to put themselves into, they never find that peace that comes from Christ. That comes from knowing of the gospel. I have a hard time understanding why there aren't more Christians out there. Why is it that when Paul was preaching the gospel, this very thing, right? About his Christ's death, his burial, his resurrection, his appearance to all those around, that he wasn't dead, but he was alive. Why that doesn't have an effect on us? I was just telling Hope, I was going through some internet stuff, and I saw an article about why people are moving away from the church. One is, their pastor abused the people, some of them physically and stuff, and they saw that. It's like, why would I want to be here, right? They saw that they always felt condemned by the people, being judged every moment that they were at church. And they didn't want to be judged. They couldn't understand why God would allow great tragedies like, you know, Turkey and Syria to happen. If God really loves us, then why would that happen? There's things in there too, you know, about people choosing their own truths in terms of their gender and their own identity, and it's like, well, God loves me, but you don't accept me. It's like, no, and that's why they leave the church, because you won't accept me for who I am. And it's funny, it's like as I was talking with Hope about this, every time that people were leaving the church, it wasn't because like literally that God disappointed them. It was because God's people disappointed them. That their focus, every one of these ones here, was not on God himself, but the focus was on the people. And I'm wondering if we are not preaching the gospel in their churches. Like I said, we like to teach about how we should be as a Christian. We like to teach how we should start thinking as a Christian. You know, the different ministries that we need to be and do the outreach that goes out there. But you know, when Samaritan Purse goes and sets up a hospital, in this case over in Turkey and stuff, which I didn't know about this, so thank you for sharing that. Their mission is to spread the gospel. This gospel right here that Paul spread. Because it's through the gospel that you'll find salvation. It's through the gospel that you'll find justification. It's through the gospel that you'll find sanctification. You'll find all those names that go along with that. But the gospel is the root of our Christianity. It will always be the root of our Christianity. There isn't a higher order thinking from some Yale University guy that went through, you know, seminary school that's going to have a new revelation about the gospel. It's already out there. Right? We just need to know what the gospel is and share that gospel and live by the gospel. That's our job. That was Paul's job in being chosen by God to spread that gospel You know, and to know that he himself, right, has witnessed that Jesus is alive. So when he was on that road to Damascus, you know, and he gets knocked over by this blinding light, and his response is, "Who are you, Lord?" And Jesus replies, "I am the one that you are persecuting." Can you imagine Saul's reaction to that? You were killed. Anything that's unclean basically is cast out and destroyed. And yet you're alive? His whole thinking of what he was brought up completely changed. And he himself was blind for how many days? 3 days. I want to show you some Old Testament scripture that kind of, because it talks about here a couple times in terms of according to scripture, right? So in Isaiah 53, 4 through 5, it says, "Surely he took upon our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed." Healed spiritually. This is Old Testament. It's like I said, it's the culmination of, you know, Christ is a culmination of everything that's happened in the Old Testament. In the Psalm 16, 9 through 10, it says this, "Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the grave." That you're not, when you're dead, you're not dead. Sherry has a friend, a Jewish friend, always said, "When you're dead, you're dead." And that's it. End of story. Right? But in this case here, we're looking at, you know, that there is life after this physical death that we have. And God is not going to abandon us because he died for us. So that we can, like he was raised, we can be raised to glory with God. He says, "Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will let your Holy One see decay." Right? Christ never rotted in the ground like King David rotted in the tomb and stuff like that. And so it's a distinction of who Christ is. We can even go to a minor prophet, Hosea chapter 6, verses 2 to 3. It says, "After 2 days he will revive us. On the third day he will restore us, that we may live in his presence." Well, we understand that, living an eternal life with God, right? "Let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him." You see, so you think about these Jews that had no hope of anything in the future, and then the gospel comes forward. The gospel that the sins and the law that we had, the impossibility of maintaining the law, and the fact that we had to do one sacrifice after another sacrifice, and then there were sacrifices for the people doing the sacrifices, and then there was the sacrifices that had to be for the whole nation, and there had to be all these rituals over and over and over again, because when they sacrificed a lamb or goat or a beef animal, you know, for that sin, whatever it was only a temporary thing. But now we have one high priest forever, as Armando was mentioning. It's kind of nice how Scripture just kind of comes together and within our service. And again, I was really moved so far today. This service is really from you guys. That's powerful to know that. Yeah, yeah.
I got to say something.
Yeah, yeah.
Because of what you've said a couple times now. So I was in Luke today. And this is I read Luke 24, and Jesus says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets," so Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. So this is when, obviously, he had risen from the dead, and he was walking with the two from to Emmaus. And then later down he says, Jesus says, then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. So, like you said about when you said showed us about according to the scripture, and he repeated that twice in just a couple of sentences. How important that is, and how even Jesus—that's one of the things he was doing when he came back—was to open their minds to scripture and show them according to the scripture. So when you just showed us all these Old Testament scriptures about Jesus, and it's just like you say, how it ties together.
Yep. I've had some people tell me, well, I don't do anything with the Old Testament because it's the New Testament. You know, that's what we need to have. But really, the fulfillment, in order to understand the gospel, you know, it literally comes from the Old Testament to begin with. Right? It's the foundation of the story of Israel. And then we go to the story of Christ. And, you know, the gospel comes out of that. And so it's hard for us to understand the fullness of the gospel without knowing the Old Testament that's there. So explaining those scriptures, that was a good point. Thank you very much for sharing that as we get into it. So, and it was so hard. Like our minds are closed so many times because we have a preconceived ideas of what God's ministry is around us. And sometimes, God, we want this ministry to be a certain thing. So, but think about this here where Jesus talk to the disciples about what was going to happen. In Mark 10, verses 32 to 34, it says, they were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. "We're going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." Now, why would Jesus say this three times to his disciples as they were heading towards Jerusalem? They didn't get it. But you know what? After the event, can you imagine that those disciples in that room that's all locked and everything. Here comes Jesus walking in, or just through the door somehow, right? The door never even opens up. He's just there. And this scripture, the words that Jesus gave him, they gave him three times, all comes back, and it comes to really hit them. Well, his words are true. You know, everything that he said was true. So if Christ says that he is, you know, the Son of God and is God himself, then by golly, we should believe that. Because that is the truth. And the gospel becomes the truth. And this is what those disciples shared. Even in the great day of the Pentecost, that was what was shared. Even when Stephen was being stoned, that's what was being shared. That whole gospel. This is what's important as we lay a foundation of what Christianity is about. So let's go. This is my last scripture here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 11. "So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me as his prisoner, but join me in suffering for the gospel." Right? "By the power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything that we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. The grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher." The message that we have today is the gospel. The message that we need to share with others is the gospel. Just plain and simple. If someone asks you, why do you believe? Give them the gospel. And they're going to say, what? Because it doesn't make sense to them. then you might be able to share a little bit. Share those testimonies that you know, Tom was talking about earlier, and how God, being alive, has taken us, right, from our sins, removed us, and cleansed us, that we can have peace. We can have a new life, that we can be born again because of what the gospel talks about. That's the power of Christianity. The results of that is we have changed individuals that repent of their earthly ways and turn towards God and become, you know, a blessing for Him. But then there's blessings that are all come out of that in terms of the salvation and justification, all that stuff. But the message today is about the gospel. Read that passage over and over and over. Ingrain that into your head so that when someone comes to you and says, "Why do you believe?" you don't have to think about it. Or when someone like a pastor asks you to write down what the gospel is right during the middle of a service and you weren't prepared for this, you know, there was no warning that we're going along, and you get all nervous and it's like, oh, it's got to be this, it's got to be this. You start writing all these things, these scripture verses that you remember and stuff like that. It's really simple what the gospel is, right? And don't complicate it. Let God do His work. Let the Holy Spirit, you know, His power, right? Paul is the least of the apostles because he's done such terrible things. But yet it doesn't mean that he isn't a powerful apostle. He is. He's written most of the New Testament, is there. But it's not about him. It's about spreading the gospel so that others know Christ, and that they too may have a life that's pleasing to God and fulfilling, and they now have a life of hope. Amen? Lord, I do thank you for your word here today, and I thank you for the gospel and the essence of it, the foundation and the meaning. Be with us and guide us when we minister to those around us, that when we share our testimonies, and when we speak of God, we speak of the gospel, and we are not ashamed. And this we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen.